It is week 16 of the year 2021, and this is Father Roderick to the max. Hey, welcome back to another episode of my show, recorded especially, exclusively for you, because you are one of my monthly supporters, and I'm so happy to have you as a part of my community. And it's not just support, it's also your ideas, your suggestions, and I love to hang out in Discord and read what's going on in your life. You know, one of the areas, one of the sections of the Discord that that touches me most is the prayer section, where you can post your intentions, for which I then pray at the next Mass that we stream. Because in those intentions, in those prayer requests, I get glimpses of what's going on in your personal life, what's going on with your family, with yourself, sometimes with friends, with your local pastor. And I feel so privileged to have that community where everybody trusts one another so much that we dare to share these very personal questions. And it just shows the quality of our community. I couldn't be happier. Another thing that makes me really happy is very mundane. And that is, I finally figured out a way to end the most horrible sound of the past 3 weeks. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sensitive to sound. I like to listen to beautiful sounds. Sometimes I'll just use an app to play like nature sounds. Or if I have trouble sleeping, then I listen to the sound of, a fire or the ocean or crickets in the woods. And you can even tell your personal assistant, in my case it's Google, to play those nature sounds until you fall asleep. So I like pleasant sounds. I also really dislike grating sounds, sounds that are just hurting my ears. Like, for instance, motorbikes, very loud motorbikes. I cannot stand it when I'm recording the walk and I'm outside in nature and I'm walking on, you know, one of the dikes here near the river, and then all of a sudden you hear the... And I'm like, oh, come on! Take a bike or take a hike, but don't make all that noise. If you make so much noise, you can't hear the sounds of nature. And those sounds are calming your soul. And all this mechanical, loud sound, it was like, why? I don't like it at all. But that's not the worst sound of the past few weeks. The worst sound is every morning when I go down the stairs. I leave my loft here. I walk over the attic, the part of the attic where there are no apartments, and it's like very, very cold. Oh, if there's one thing I can truly miss, it's the cold in this house. It's these past few weeks have been particularly cold, actually colder than normal in the month of April. And up here on the attic, it's freezing. So, you know, my room gets, you know, relatively warm. I am sleeping under two huge, thick blankets, so I don't really suffer from the cold at night. But then when I have to go down the stairs to take a shower, I have to traverse this ice-cold attic. And so I was like, oh. And then I go down the stairs. I open the door, and that's fine. And then I walk across the hallway to the corridor that leads to the shower. This is a big house, in case you didn't know that already. And then the sound hits me, and it makes me so sorry for getting out of bed. Because the door of the shower, when you open it, first of all, when you take the handle and you push it down, it does a... And then if you open the door, I'll try to imitate the sound that it makes. It's like... Something like that. It is so horrible. So that door has probably never been oiled, and it's like everything that it's the only door in the house that makes that sound. But every morning when I go take a shower, like I'm still half asleep, I'm like already looking forward to the nice Italian coffee that I'm gonna drink. Well, actually, to be perfectly honest, I usually drink instant coffee in the morning. Don't tell anyone in Italy. But there is also this tiny little machine with which you can make authentic coffee. And Luigi has shown me how it works. And, it's wonderful, wonderful. But it's very strong coffee. I normally prefer that after lunch, for instance, to prevent me from falling asleep after a good meal. But in the morning, I already look forward to that first cup of coffee and then some toast with egg or whatever. So I'm like half asleep, and then there's this sound of, like as if you're being assaulted by you know, 10 sand people on Tatooine. And so every morning when I hear that sound, I'm thinking, oh, I should do something about that. I mean, how hard can it be? It just needs a little bit of oil. But then, like, I know I have like a certain brand. I think it's called W40. But I used it in my former previous rectory as well, because that too was an old house when I entered it. A lot of the doors were squeaky, and I fixed them all. And then everything got silent and nice and smooth and everything. But I searched all the stores, and I couldn't find one single store, like the regular supermarkets, that had that specific oils. And I know they sell it in the bigger stores outside the city, where you can buy whatever you need to refurbish your home. So it's probably a place where I will be a lot in the near future if I start working on my new rectory. But and so tonight, for the first time, finally, I entered the Albert Heijn, which is a big, big chain of supermarkets. And this is a pretty big one compared to the other ones. And lo and behold, after searching for about half an hour, I finally discovered that a little section, almost hidden, next to the cat food. And they had this W40. It's like a certain oil that it kind of creeps into all the nooks and crannies of your doors and other mechanical objects. And so I arrive here super happy, and the first thing I do is I run up the stairs and I open the door one more time, and then it sounds like, you know, it's even more silent than a door in Star Trek. It doesn't even do the whoosh. It's just, I am so, the little things. And it was just like $4, you know, the oil. So, should have done that 3 weeks ago. Maybe I'm a little bit neurotic when it comes to these little things. It's like, you know, organizing the fridge, organizing the cupboards here in the rectory. I know that it is actually a waste of my time, because in a few days from now, it will all be chaotic again. But I just enjoy putting things in a certain order. That's probably also why I'm having such a great time playing that Viking game, Valheim. And especially what I love doing is taming the landscape. So imagine you're on this very remote island, and everything, there are hills, there are trees, there are rocks, and you want to build a house. And so I started to build a house on the server that I share with a few friends. And I had seen a YouTube video of a boathouse, and it was a gorgeous house near the water of the sea, and you could build a boat, and it was just, I loved the design. And on the inside, they had like created all sorts of objects, and it felt like a place where I would like to live. And so I was like, okay, even though this video is only 2 or 3 minutes long, I am going to make this house. I'm going to analyze this video frame by frame to figure out how they built this house. And I'm going to build it as well. And I'm going to make it even nicer than the one in the video. It literally took me, I think this is the third, ever since the first week I started playing Valheim, which is probably already 2 months ago, I've been working almost on a daily basis on this house. But what I like is about the game, and I think it has to do with my OCD, is you have to tame the landscape. You have to flatten everything. So one of the issues that I had is like, how do I create a nice cobblestone road in front of my house? And it was so hard to figure out how to straighten the landscape, because you've got some simple tools, but it's, you know, Viking times. So it's all pretty rudimentary, and it's very, very hard to get anything straight and anything lined up. And so the joy of building and the joy of landscaping is creating order out of chaos. And I think that triggers something very, very deep in me that I like. And in that respect, I think I'm a lot like my father. My father used to have a desk, and he had his own study room, and it was filled with books. My father was a judge at one point, so he had tons and tons of books and papers and dossiers of cases that he was working on. But even though there was so much stuff in his room and on his desk, everything was ordered. So, for instance, he would have like five pens, and he would there would be, let's say, 30 things on his desk, way more than I have on my desk. But he would have five pens. He would have a pipe that he would smoke. He would have a radio. He would have a few paper clips. Well, everything, even the paper clips, were neatly placed one next to another. The pens would be all in a straight line, and he would color sort them, you know, like two blue ones, one that is a little bit purple blue, and then one that is red. And he wouldn't mix them up. The radio would be like aligned with the monitor of his laptop, and it would be in the same straight line. And so I think I have that same issue. Like, I'm always surrounded by a lot of stuff, and oh my goodness, when I moved, I was just shocked to see how much stuff there was in this old rectory, and also how much stuff I have to somehow squeeze into my new home. But even though I have a lot of stuff, I want to have everything in order. I want to kind of organize things. And that's why the digital age for me is both a blessing and also a curse, because every week, my desktop, which is kind of like this temporary place where I put files, like for instance, if I finish recording this podcast, I'll have to transfer the WAV file from the Rodecaster to the computer, and then I put it on the desktop because I still have to import it in Audition, convert it to an MP3. Sometimes I have to tweak the sound a little bit, apply some filters. And then I have to find a picture that goes with it, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of the week, there's just a lot of stuff on my desktop, on my digital desktop. And then after a while, I can't really find anything anymore. And it's always such a chore to sit down and to put everything in folders and to try to remember what was this, what was this. And the most challenging job that I'm currently working on is I'm sorting. I've got this one hard drive. It's right here on the table, actually. And it is, let me see, hold on. This is, what's the size of this one? I think it's 2 terabyte. It doesn't really say. Anyway, it's a Western Digital portable hard drive, and it contains all my photos. And all the photos that all the digital photos that I ever took. I've never really found the time to scan in my old-fashioned photos. Still have a lot of those as well. But I started taking pictures, digital photos, from the time I was in Rome. I was studying in Rome. So 2001, I bought myself one of those Sony Mavica digital cameras, the very early ones, and they had floppy disks, actually. So you would store your photos on a mechanical floppy disk. Some of you don't even know what those are. So I have a huge collection of digital photos and of course, lots and lots of digital video material as well. But the photos, I put them all in one hard drive, and it's always like, ugh, none of these photos are tagged. A lot of the digital photos were taken with the iPhone, some other cameras, and none of them had geotagging or even would add a date to the metadata. So for a lot of these photos, I know where they were taken, but sometimes I don't remember the year. So I always tell myself, you know, one day I'm going to sit down and I'm going to, you know, put some order into that chaos, and I'm going to neatly organize all my photos event per event. I do that, and I'm so happy I started doing that right away. Once I started filming for my TV show, of course, when you film, like for a documentary, I have usually like at least 3 or 4 hours of footage. And I do a lot of TV production, like 32 shows per year. And I've been doing this for 3 or 4 years. So imagine the amount, the quantity of raw footage that I have. But I started coding immediately. So my system is like the when I get home from a day of filming, the first thing I do is I take the SD cards out of the camera and I upload everything to my external hard drive. And then I put it in a folder called, you know, it's usually year, month, day, same system I use now for podcast categorization. So year, month, day, and then a description of the actual event. So it could be, you know, filming in this or that monastery in this or that place. And thankfully, I've done that systematically with all my film stock, because when you film, the camera does not add, well, nowadays they do, but they sometimes don't record the actual date, or let alone the geolocation. But I never did that with my photos. So I've got this one hard drive is full of thousands and thousands of photos. Plus, I had photos that I had to kind of... I have used the iMac for a long time to store my photos and also to sort my photos. So I was using the, what's it called, iPhoto. They had like a specific Mac app for photos. And it was, you know, it was okay, but also a bit flawed. And it got very, very slow after a certain time, probably because the database was so big and my Mac was old. So at one point I switched back from the Mac as my go-to computer to a Windows PC. And then, of course, no iPhoto there. But all my photos were still inside that Mac environment. And the iPhoto app does not store the photos in a visible hierarchy of folders. So I had to kind of export all those photos from iPhoto and then put them on this hard drive. And then, of course, it was a big mess. And then I started adding, you know, sometimes I just don't have time to sit down and put everything in folder. So whenever I had photos, I just put them on that hard drive. Now I'll get to that later. I'll take a day or so and sort it all out. Well, that day, of course, never came for many years, but this week I finally started to take a look at what I have and I started to sort stuff, and man, what a work. And there are so many photos that I still need to verify, you know, are these photos really from 2004, or was it just the day that I copied those photos to a hard drive? Sometimes it will add metadata that's based on your file transfer and not on the day that the photo was taken, all that sort of stuff. And Google Photos, of course, in the cloud is a huge help for people like me who have so many photos that you just don't have time to sort them. What I love about Google Photos is that normally when you want to look for photos, you just search for topics, for objects or places that are in the photo. And, well, I would say 75% of my photos don't have any metadata. They don't have a geolocation tag or anything. They don't have a date. But if I type in Paris, for instance, it will recognize all the photos that were taken in, well, at least in well-known locations of Paris. And it will show me all those photos with the information that it has about the date. And sometimes it's not the correct date on which the photos were taken, but at least I have an indication on when I was working on these photos. I could also do a search for faces, which is not enabled everywhere, especially in Europe. That's kind of an issue because we have very strict laws when it comes to facial recognition. But since I have worked a lot with American accounts and I used to have an SQPN account, etc., my Google Photos does have that ability to scan for faces. And so I can easily group photos, tag them, for instance, from all my vacations. Because I just do a search for, you know, my friends, and then it will just group all the photos that features our group. And then usually, when if I have only one photo that has a date or that I can trace back, then I can usually easily see which other photos that don't have any information belong to that series of photos. So, but it's such a time-consuming job. I really hope that in the future there will be more. Sorry, I gotta blow my nose here for a second. It's been a cold day, and I've been outside, and I think I may be a bit allergic, which I've never been, but it's springtime, so all the flowers are blooming. And sometimes I just get this stuffed nose, like now. Usually when I want a podcast, all of a sudden my I've got a very stuffy nose. Ah, sorry. So anyway, I'm hoping for more artificially intelligent help with the sorting of my photos. Another thing that I'm really looking forward to is the image enhancement that is now built into a lot of the technology. For instance, Apple does an amazing job. Did you see that Apple presentation of the new iMacs? Now, they look pretty okay. I mean, I love that they basically created a huge iPad and put it on a stand, and that's their iMac now. Super thin, very portable. That's a good thing. I like the fact that they went back to the colors, because that was still my favorite design ever. It was the semi-transparent Macintoshes with all these bright rainbow colors. Computers that look like candy. Oh, I love those. But I don't really like the colors that they used for this first batch of iMacs. They're a little bit, plus I don't like that bezel, that white chin, doesn't work. And it doesn't even have the Apple logo anymore, so why did they put that chin there? It doesn't make sense. Well, probably just for the cooling or to put the equipment there, or the chips and everything. But anyway, so that's beside the point. What impressed me most was that finally, they have a decent webcam in their iMac. There is not a single computer or a single iPad. Well, maybe the phones not by now. But a lot of the times, Apple would put these horrible, horrible front-facing cameras in their equipment. Well, that apparently finally has changed. So they put a decent HD camera in the new iMacs. Plus, they added artificial image enhancement, the same technology that they use for photos on the iPhone. And so apparently it creates an amazing picture for video calls, which of course nowadays super important in these corona times to have a good picture. Oh, so often I'm in Zoom calls and people are sitting in front of a window and the only thing you see is this silhouette, and it's terrible. Or bad lighting, or they're just lit by the shining light of their monitors. And so many people don't realize that with a few changes, they could look so much better on camera. But anyway, Apple is using a lot of that artificial image intelligence and image processing to make you look good via a webcam. That would be probably already a selling point for those new iMacs. Plus, of course, they run the M1 chip, so that would be a really, really great editing computer for me. Maybe. My other computer is still working fine, though, the Windows PC. So what I hope is that ultimately, maybe Google Photos or Adobe will give us more of that computer-assisted image enhancement. I have so many of these photos from the early days that I had this digital camera, including photos that I took at Skywalker Ranch during the premiere of The Phantom Menace, Star Wars conventions, the first Star Wars celebrations. I I already took some digital pictures there. I think I did. Yes, I did. I already had the Mavica. But, of course, they are tiny. They're like 640 times 3 something. So resolution is very low. The colors are pretty good. I mean, it's still every phone nowadays is better, but still they're pretty vibrant for digital photos, but they're also extremely grainy. The sensors at the time were very, very low quality. The lenses were okay, but a lot of the photos that I took inside are super, super grainy. Now there are apps that can take that grain out of your picture and can do image enhancement, sharpening, and I've already done some tests on photos that I took during the, I think it was the Dallas Star Wars convention in the year that The Phantom Menace premiered. And I was able to get rid of most of the grain and it still looked very, very sharp. But of course, there have to be better ways to do that. And another thing that I would like to do is to make the photos bigger without making them blurrier. And for that, of course, you need almost technology that generates detail. And I know that that technology already exists. And there's a certain series that I would love to use for, you know, experiments in how can I improve these photos. It was during an evening. I think it was also in the vicinity of Dallas. And there was this Star Wars convention just before the premiere of The Phantom Menace, and they had invited quite a few Star Wars actors to be at that convention. So you'd have Kenny Baker and what's his name? Jeremy Bullock, Boba Fett. Who else did they have? Well, and then they had Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca. And after the first day of the convention, some friends of mine invited him over for dinner at the house of one of their friends. And so I had dinner with Peter Mayhew, and I have photos to prove it. But the photos were taken inside, and it was this very geeky house. I still remember that above the kitchen table, they had this open kitchen, and above the island, the cooking island, or it wasn't really the cooking island, but anyway, the whatever you call that table, there was this giant Millennium Falcon, this model of the Falcon. Maybe it was even a Lego Falcon. I'm not sure. Maybe not. I don't remember. But it was this huge model, and it was hanging from the ceiling, and there were all sorts of, you know, Star Wars memorabilia all over the place. But it's very dark. We were watching TV. That was like the biggest TV that I'd ever seen. These flat screen TVs. I think it was a projection TV. And that was at a time that TVs in the Netherlands were tiny. They were like 11 inch or something like that. And but because there was TV playing, they had lowered the light in the room. And all these photos are so dark and so extremely grainy. And I know it's possible to enhance that. I just haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I think the future of digital photography is going to be great. And, oh, by the way, before I forget, speaking of photos, and then I'm finally going to move on to the other topics here. I recorded a video. Like the other day, I went to the Arboretum, which is the park with all the beautiful trees. And, of course, it's springtime here in Wageningen. And I wanted to just go for a walk, but I also wanted to have a reason. So where am I going to go to? I want to go to that park. What am I going to do? I'm going to take some nice spring photos, springtime photos. It was already around 5 o'clock. The sun was going down, and it was just a gorgeous day. I'm thinking, I'm just going to take nice pictures. But I had already posted some of those springtime photos on Instagram before, and I just don't want to spam my Instagram feed with just photos of flowers. No matter how beautiful they are, if you see them for real, they're very impressive. If you see them on a photo, it's like, photos of flowers. So then I was like, well, maybe I can make another vlog. In case you have missed it, I posted a vlog on the Patreon page with a tour of my new home. Oh, which reminds me, I gotta post that link. I gotta send that link to a few people that are not supporting me through Patreon, but directly, like John and some other people. Okay, so I did a video tour, an exclusive video tour of my house, which is completely empty. But you can see for yourself where I'm going to live, hopefully sometime when we're done refurbishing, which we haven't even started yet. Oh my goodness, there's so much work that needs to be done. So there were a lot of reactions on Discord. I love that video. You should do this more often. This reminds me of the olden times when you would post all these vlogs during your vacations, and you should do more videos like this. So I went to the park and I started making another vlog. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe I can I can share some of the tips or some of the tricks that I use to take photos and to film. And so that's what I did. For about an hour, I ran around in the park filming myself, filming and explaining how I do composition and how I try to make things look nice on a photo or on TV. Sorry about that. My nose is even more stuffier now. Maybe, now that I think of it, maybe it's the oil that I used for the doors. Maybe I'm allergic to that because my hands are still smelling. Yeah, that may be it. Maybe I'm allergic. Oh my goodness. That is crazy. Okay, so I still have, I made the video with my phone, the Android phone, and accidentally I filmed it in 4K, which is a little bit over the top. So I still need to edit everything together and then upload it to Patreon. But if you like that and you want to see more of that, and let me know. I hesitate to put it on my YouTube page because it's so atypical for the other stuff that's on my YouTube page. Yeah, I'm still, that's another thing that I'm still debating, and I've been debating this forever, like what to put on my YouTube page. What is the kind of content that I want to post there? Like last week I recorded myself recording my podcast, and then I posted that video on YouTube. But I'm thinking, you know, it doesn't look good. Like I'm using the webcam and it's kind of blurry and it's, ugh. Of course, everybody understands that this is a temporary situation, but still, it's so subpar compared to what I would like to put on YouTube or the quality that I strive to attain. But maybe the perfectionism is holding me from, you know, posting more. So I'm just like, should I just use YouTube as a place to hang out and just chat about stuff? And or am I going to go for this like super high quality production stuff and try to grow a big audience because of the quality? And man, I don't know. Should I just talk about Star Wars or movies or mix it up? Let me know if you have any thoughts. I think the best piece of advice that I heard recently was don't try to find an audience, but listen to your audience. And that was a good one, because don't try to find an audience. Try to be someone you're not. Try to make something you don't make yet. But listen to your current audience. What are the people that are following you now, you that are supporting me, you are my core community. You have reasons to support me. You have reasons to follow me. There are things that you like, things you appreciate, things you'd like to see more of. That is the group that you should listen to. That was the advice, and I'm thinking, totally right. But I also wonder, since we're talking, what would you like me to do on my YouTube channel? Tell me. There are so many different things that I could do. Some would take almost no time. Other stuff would take a lot of time. But it may also be something you'd appreciate more. let me know, especially on Discord. There's this brainstorming session, I think, or section, not session. It's a section for sessions. Brainstorm session, section. Let me know what you would like to see on my YouTube channel, and I'll make sure to listen. All right. Wow. That was the first introduction to the podcast of this week.
Just look at the x-rays. You see that dark spot there? Whiplash.
Whiplash? Oh, no.
And this smudge here that looks like my fingerprint? No, that's trauma.
This is the jingle for the health section. And, well, other than having a stuffy nose, my health is okay. It's not totally fine. Like today, for instance, I was super tired, mainly due to the fact that I did not sleep very well. But then I did not sleep very well because I had a bit of a stomach ache. And I rarely have that. So it prevented me from sleeping. Today it wasn't completely gone, but I still feel a bit wonky. And sometimes I wonder, is this just because I ate something wrong? Or yesterday, Father Henry and Luigi invited someone over, and so we had fries, and there's a lot of fries usually during the weekend. So maybe I just ate too much. Maybe I'm just not used to that kind of food, because I really miss my Asian cuisine very, very much. And also just my usual breakfast, you know, my oatmeal and all that. I miss that. I can't prepare it here. Because I try to adapt to the habits of this house. But man, I so wanna, it's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, is to just have my own kitchen, cook my own food. Even though I like, you know, eating with friends, and Luigi and Henry, they do a pretty good job in the kitchen. It's just that it's not totally my type of food. I like it every once in a while, but now it's like every day it's the same type of food, unless I cook myself. So what was I saying? So maybe it's just something I ate, or I don't know. But and that's also possible, maybe these lapses that I sometimes have where I'm super tired, maybe it's still a remnant of COVID, of long COVID. I was listening to Greg and Jennifer's podcast the other day, and Greg has had a pretty severe case of COVID. He even had to go to the hospital. He's been on oxygen and everything, so much, much worse than I had it. And he's currently suffering from post-COVID or long COVID symptoms, which are different for every person, and they're pretty hard to treat. Because the doctors don't really know how to treat it yet. And it's frustrating if you think, well, I'm over it. I've had COVID. I must now have enough antibodies. So you think you're rid of it, and then you've got all these weird things in your body and stuff that is not entirely normal. And the thing is, the symptoms are so diverse and so vague that you never know, is this long COVID, or am I just out of shape, or is this something else? You start to doubt everything. And the only thing, of course, you can do is to try to live as healthy as possible. And for me, that, well, food is a very important component of that. And at the same time, I'm still that same old people pleaser who doesn't dare to say no when, you know, people come to my room and is like, you want to eat with us? We cook this or that. And then it's another pasta, which is great. But pastas knock me out, especially for lunch. And then I get so tired because of the, you know, the blood sugar spike. So, but then I don't want to disappoint people. You know my dilemma. It's always like that. So I'm trying to go my own way, but I don't always succeed. So we'll see. And because I'm still very tired, I sleep so much here. Usually in the morning, I'm just too groggy. I'm too tired to go out for a run. And, of course, then you get the chicken and the egg problem. Because I don't go out for a run, I don't really get fit. Because I'm not fit, I don't go out for a run. So I try to go out for a walk from time to time. But even, you know, walking itself is not a very high intensity sports. So yeah, gosh, I'm sure that, oh, another thing that's keeping me from running outside is just how cold it is. And I so hate cold. I mean, I can live with the heat, but I cannot stand the cold, especially if I can't protect myself against it. Yeah, I'm a hobbit. What are you going to do? Oh, I skipped the kitchen. Okay, well, let's start with what I learned on the internet. Well, it's something I discovered, something I am trying to get to know. I will no longer be cryptic. I installed Clubhouse. And Clubhouse, you may have heard of it. It's this new audio medium where people can form groups and talk live with one another. It's just audio, so it's not a Zoom call. And it's super popular. The company is growing tremendously. But the thing is, it is only available for iOS. Now, that's not a problem in the United States because like 4 out of 5 people have an iPhone, apparently. It is a problem here in Europe where, you know, 4 out of 5 people don't have an iPhone. They have an Android phone. Like, I have an Android phone. And the app is very much tailor-made for the iPhone, and they haven't made an Android version yet. So I was seeing all these posts from Cliff Ravenscraft and some other people that I follow. I was like, oh, join me on Clubhouse tonight. I'm going to talk about this and that. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Well, first of all, there's a time difference. So if it's tonight, usually I'm out because that's in the middle of the night for me. But even if it was on a time that I could join the conversation, it's iOS only. And so, well, I still wanted to get an idea of what it was. So I ended up installing the app, which is a phone app, on my iPad. That's the only device that I have that currently runs iOS. And then I had to create an account, or I had an invite from a parishioner of mine. So I set myself up on Clubhouse, and I follow a few people, but I just couldn't figure out who to follow. It gave me some suggestions and none of them appealed to me. So I follow Cliff and some other people that I know from other social media. But I probably don't have enough people that I to follow for the algorithm to suggest anything of interest to me. Plus, and then the issue that I had was I was looking around in Clubhouse, and you know, all these conversations are in American in American time. There's like EDT, and it's usually late for me, and there is an issue that I have is that it has to be live. And I understand that it's the appeal, but if someone is doing Clubhouse, like for instance, in the middle of the day and it's evening for me, then maybe I would listen. But most people tend to chat in the evening hours, and there is no way to listen back to a conversation. Plus, the other thing that I'm not sure of is I'm intimidated by the aspect that it is live. And that you are in a kind of like a virtual room with people you don't know. And then apparently you can also talk back. That freaks me out. Really? I'm way too introvert for that. Maybe if I were running a Clubhouse and I would be the one sharing, it would be different. But to just step into a conversation with people I don't know, and then that's why I like podcasts. I can just listen. I can feel a bond, but it's not live. So there's at no point the host is going to kind of rat me out and say, so Father Roderick, what do you think about this topic? We're all listening. You hear the clock in the background, and you're just like, I'm out of here. Bye. I have the same problem with live streams on Twitch. So, and even, I don't think that with Facebook it works like that, or YouTube. Usually when you enter when you start watching a stream on YouTube and Facebook, I don't think the one who is streaming can see that you only sees the number of people that are watching, but doesn't see your name. So they can't call you out. But on Twitch, they can. If you watch a Twitch stream, like the other day, I was just browsing some whatever, I don't know. I was just looking for something to watch. Maybe I was checking out Valheim. I don't even remember. But there was this dude. I had no idea. But there were like tons and tons of people watching his stream. So I click on the stream, and I'm just sitting there. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, he's like, "So, FR Roderick, where are you from?" And I was like, sorry, I don't have a microphone connected to my computer. I'm out of here. Yeah. I apologize to all of you that are very extroverted and have no problem. Maybe you scratch your head and you're like, Father Roderick is so weird. But honestly, it's so intimidating. I'm already intimidated by when I have to make a phone call. I have so much trouble calling people up. It freaks me out. Honestly, I'm not exaggerating. I have a real fear of calling people up on the phone, unless it's people that I'm super good friends with. And even then. And when someone calls me, it's slightly better, but I still don't like it. I just don't like, maybe in that respect, I'm super like the young kids now that never answer their phone. But I've always hated the phone, which is quite an issue here in the house, by the way, because Father Henry, he's like married to his phone. He always calls people on the phone and then chats for hours and hours, not necessarily with a purpose. So he just calls you up and, yeah, I still need some ideas for my homily. Do you have any ideas? And then it's like, okay, so yeah, sure. You know, I'm a quick thinker, so, and I usually have some associative ideas that I can, but then that's not everything. Then just the conversation just goes on. So there's silence at the other end. And then, so what you're up to? What are you doing right now? And like, what are we going to talk about? And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know what to talk about. I don't want to talk on the phone right now. I just gave you some ideas for your homily. Can we please end this phone call? I'm sorry if you ever called me on the phone and I may have behaved like that. But honestly, I don't like to be on the phone with people. What is it? I don't know. I have no issue whatsoever to talk with people in real life. Well, that's not entirely true. I also am a little bit timid when I'm in an environment like after the International Mass this Sunday. People gather on the square. And I see all these people talk with one another. And I talked a little bit with Father Henry. And then he started a conversation with some other people. And I'm standing there all by myself. And I see all these people chatting with one another. And I feel like a kid in school again. Like in primary school, I was already afraid to walk up to people and start a conversation. And I still have that. And when people walk towards me and then they connect, no problem. But if I have to go to someone else, especially if that other person is talking with other people, I can't do it. And maybe it's fear of rejection. You know, this happened a lot when I was in high school. And all the popular kids were always talking to one another. And you would have sometimes these school parties, which I hated. It was like bad music and they would dance, which, oh gosh, it wasn't the classic dance. I liked to dance the classical dances because it was all kind of orderly and it was a tradition. But that just like moving your body on some music, I was like, oh, please, God, kill me now. I want to go home. I just want to play video games. So I was a super nerd, very introverted guy in school. And oftentimes I would walk up to a group of the popular kids and I knew that I had to do my best to connect. So I was like, so, anyone, Have you heard the latest rumor about Star Wars, the new Star Wars movies? Silence, crickets. And then they would just continue to talk about whatever they were talking about, ignoring me totally. I was like, okay, then I will probably just go walk to this corner of the room and hope nobody sees me, and I'll just talk to myself about Star Wars. That is basically my entire life. Oh, man. Maybe I should get some treatment for this. You know which geeky character I connect with a lot? Like, Marty McFly's father. George McFly. When I saw that first movie and I see George McFly, I'm thinking, that is me. That is me. The poor guy, he's not even supposed to be likable. And I was like, oh my gosh, I so empathize with this guy. Oh, and of course, all my life I wanted to be Marty McFly, not George McFly, but I was always George McFly, and I had the same type of bullies. Hey, McFly. Hey, Father Roderick. Tuk, tuk, tuk. Anyone home? Anyone home? Oh, dear. Watching Back to the Future is so therapeutic for me. It's like, I am not alone. I'm not alone. George McFly is my soulmate. Hey, what segment is this? I don't even remember. Oh, yeah, it was about... It was about Clubhouse. So I have still very mixed feelings. Now, I have to be honest, I have never once attended one of those Clubhouse sessions. So maybe what I'm thinking Clubhouse is totally not what it is. Enlighten me. Just let me know if there is like a group of people, like, I don't know, people afraid of social interaction on Clubhouse. Maybe I join that group. We'll just all sit there listening to crickets. How cool would that be? So I don't know. I'll do my best to check it out, but it's complicated. Maybe it's not for me. Time for some kitchen talk. The kitchen is kind of my happy place. That is where I can just focus on food and recipes. I've been cooking a bit here. I don't always get the chance because especially Luigi is a great cook. He makes some excellent pasta. And Father Henry also likes to cook. He likes to eat. So he likes to cook his own stuff. But I made a nice pasta the other day, which was actually... I was pretty content with it. It's pasta con crema di spinaci. So it consists of spinach, basically. I usually also take some ground beef. So first of all, what you do is take some garlic, of course. Chop it up. Put it in a pan. Don't let it burn. Add some chopped onions. And then you add a little bit of ground beef. Make sure to salt and pepper it, and then you make sure you brown it, and then you add spinach. It can either be fresh spinach or, in this case, I just used frozen spinach, until it melts, and it creates this mass of spinach. Then you cook your spaghetti, al dente, of course, and then towards the end, you toss in the pasta in the pan with the spinach, and then you add cream. You can either add just thick cream or creme fraiche, just any type of cream. Add some more salt and pepper, just taste it first. You can also add some mushrooms to it. I did not do that. It's a very, very simple dish, but the cream and the spinach make it really yummy, and it works well with the... with ground beef as well for some reason. So that is a recipe that I liked. And then I prepared mussels, which is a dish that has a special meaning to me because it was during my retreat to prepare for the priestly ordination. We were in Belgium for that. And we were hosted by a community, a religious community there. And then I think it was on Wednesday, or maybe it was the day before we left, we went out to eat with the group of ordinance. It was in this small village, so we didn't find any restaurants until we saw this window. It looked like a regular house from the outside, but we could see that there were people sitting at a table eating, and it looked a bit like a restaurant, but it was so small. It was just basically a regular living room with two or three tables. And so when we approached the house, we saw that there was actually a menu hanging, like a printed menu, which just had one meal. And it said, moules frites, so mussels and fries. So aujourd'hui, moules frites. I'm like, okay, let's try that out. And we had the most wonderful time there with great mussels, very tasty, and, you know, heaps and heaps of fries. And we all cherish that meal from that moment on, because it reminds us of that, you know, week before our ordination, the only time that we were all together kind of sharing that very spiritual week. And it was just wonderful. So whenever I eat mussels, I want to eat it with fries. And so the other day I got one of those Too Good To Go bags. So basically food that is, they won't sell it anymore because it has to be prepared on that same day. And this time I had this huge container of mussels, way too much for one person. So I prepared it for the four of us. So Luigi, Eric, Father Henry, and me. And we made some fries with that. And it was nice. Actually, mussels is super simple. You just have to wash them. And you have to make sure that they're not broken or anything. Your computer will restart in 51 seconds. I did not think so. Apple, you're not going to restart my computer in the middle of a podcast. The thing is, if a mussel is broken or is half open and it doesn't close when you wash it, then the animal itself is probably already dead. And that can cause some serious problems, some digestive problems if you eat those. So that's the only bit of work that it takes. And normally when I buy mussels like that, there are a lot of them that are broken. In this case, it was only a few, I think 10 in total, out of 150 or something like that. Well, maybe not that much, not that many. Then what you do is you have to get a big pan and you put some vegetables on the bottom. So we used an onion, what is prei in English? Golly, I shouldn't record podcasts in the evening. Google Translate. What is prei, ok all weir? What is prei? What is prei? What is prei? I know the word. It just doesn't come to me right now. Wouldn't you like... Oh, leek. Of course I know leek. Of course it's leek. Leek is actually what you eat in this video game. It's a Microsoft video game, Fable. In Fable, when you eat, you actually grow fat. So the game forces you to eat leek, because leek, apparently in the gaming world of Fable, has this magical property of having negative calories. So if you eat leek, you will actually start to lose weight. That's how I learned the word leek, and I instantly forgot about it. So you chop up a leek, veggies, some herbs. You can add a carrot if you want, some pepper and salt. I added a bit of stock, like this concentrated stock on the bottom, and then some water. And then you bring that to a boil and let the mussels cook for between 6 or 10 minutes. It doesn't really matter that much, until they all open and the meat of the mussel is this nice yellow orangey color. That's when they are ready. That's all there is to it. Super, super simple and very yummy. And another thing that is great about mussels, it is also a very social thing because it takes time. You have to, so you can actually, to take the mussel itself out of the shell, you can use another shell to do that because it works as a like pinching device, like pincers, like a pincet. And then the sauces are also pretty indispensable if you want to eat it the Belgian way. So you may have like some ketchup or mayonnaise, or you make your own mixtures and you dip it in, or you dip the fries in the sauces as well. It's really yummy, but it's not that heavy because it's still seafood. So you have to eat a lot of mussels to get the same caloric density that you would get from eating a steak, for instance. So yeah, I liked it. It's a bit of work, and of course, you know, big pan, you need to have one of those. But I think that everybody enjoyed it, so we will do this again sometime soon. Wow, I've already been chatting for about an hour. I've already talked about the Apple event, so I'm not going to dwell on that. And yeah, I think I'm just going to wrap it up. I'm just browsing through my notes here, see if there's anything else that I couldn't talk about in my regular show. No, all that I'll just move to next week's episode. Yeah, that's it. I'm just going to keep it at that. I'm a bit tired, so I'm going to upload this. Hope you enjoyed it. This was a very, very relaxed, loose podcast. But that's what Father Roderick to the Max sometimes can be. It's just the real Father Roderick. George McRoderick. That's going to be the title of this show. George McRoderick. Anybody home? Thanks for listening, and talk to you soon. Take care. Oh, what? I was pressing this button. Why didn't it do anything? Let's press it again. There you go. Bye-bye.